each of you and fellowship will be more celebration of Bob and Patsy Scott. And let's just say there's another announcement and a crown involved. So you won't want to miss that. Next Sunday, we're having a congregational meeting right after the worship service. And so take note of that in your bulletin. And also, you'll notice that I'm keynote speaking at East Heights United Methodist Church on October the 2nd. And the reason that that is in our bulletin is that they wanted me to extend an offer of welcome to you all to come. If you'd like to make reservations, there's information in the bulletin for that. So you know that I grew up in a small and rather informal church, and I hadn't ever been exposed as a child to what they call high church. It's an emphasis on liturgy and ceremony and Anglican-style worship. That is until college. I chose Bethany College to go to in Lindsborg with all the sense of a 17-year-old because a guy that I liked went there. It really didn't matter that I had never stepped foot in a Lutheran anything, except for Girl Scouts when I was a kid and we met on Tuesdays at the Lutheran church. And the chapel services at Bethany College were required at that time for first semester students. So I went to chapel with absolutely no idea what all that pomp and circumstance was about. So go with me back a few years, only a few. Picture it with me, a loud organ prelude with interludes and key changes between the verses. And then a long processional down the center aisle with acolytes to light the candles, a large cross being carried in, singers, the musicians, the minister was decked out in vestments and robes, and a ritual of worship that was very foreign and mysterious to me, with this whole book of liturgies and responses, stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down, and lots of voices responding automatically to the things that the minister said. I thought I was in another world. I was completely out of my league in that foreign expression of faith. And it seemed as different from my Christian background as what I imagined Buddhism or Hinduism might have looked like. Yet, over the 3 years that I was there, I sort of grew to love that tradition. I can still sing Children of the Heavenly Father in Swedish. Do you all know it? Trigare koning invara. Guds lilla boneskara, where none a po himla vestet, vogen a shenda nestet. Swedish. Yeah. And I know what it means in English, too. And then when they play For All the Saints on the organ, tingles go down my back. And the majesty and the beauty of Lutheran worship still elicits this sort of feeling of awe in my soul. You know, we all have different ways to relate to God, sacred pathways. And as I've said the last two Sundays, no particular pathway is better than the other. And we tend to have a dominant path with several secondary paths. And so we're continuing on this sermon series, exploring how various people relate to God. And so far we've explored two different sacred pathways, the sensate, who relates to God through the senses and likes to worship with vivid sights, sounds, smells, and tastes. And then we talked about the naturalist, and those are people who prefer the out-of-doors and their spiritual connection. And today we're talking about the traditionalist and their spiritual journey with God. Now, traditionalists are fed by what's often termed the historic dimensions of faith, the ritual, the symbol, and the sacraments as well as sacrifice. Traditionalists tend to have a very disciplined life of faith. Some may see them as legalists because they define their faith largely by matters of conduct. They frequently enjoy regular attendance at worship, tithing, keeping the Sabbath day holy, and so on. So traditionalists have a need for this kind of ritual and structure that I was describing at the Lutheran services at Bethany. Many of you have read some of Kathleen Norris's books, such as Amazing Grace or Dakota. If you haven't read them, you might enjoy, especially Dakota, I thought was a great book. Kathleen describes herself as a Presbyterian Benedictine. I'm glad some of you know that was funny, but that's not my joke, that's hers. And she says she's theologically moderate to liberal, but she is a traditionalist in her way of worshiping. She said, "I think I'm typical of a lot of people in my generation. I simply stopped going to church after high school. I really can't explain what it was that 10 years later drew me back. Ironically, I think it was the Benedictines that kept me out of it. I'm married, I'm not Catholic, but when I started attending their liturgy, they would sing or recite psalms, have a Bible reading and some prayers 4 times a day. And being able to hear poems out loud was a whole new approach to me, even though it's about 1,700 years old. It really nourished me, and the Benedictines made me a better Presbyterian." So there are numerous biblical accounts of traditionalist methods of relating to God. Think back with me to the Old Testament. Abraham expressed his faith by building altars. God would appear to him and tell Abraham that the Canaanites' land would one day be his, and Abraham built an altar to the Lord. When he moved from there and pitched his tent between Bethel and Ai, Abraham built an altar to the Lord. He followed the same practice when he moved on to Hebron. And by doing this, he was expressing his faith and finding his soul's path to God. Jesus also practiced this ritual within the Hebrew tradition. And so today in your bulletin, you'll see our traditional text, and it's about Jesus and his ritual practice of the Hebrew tradition. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and said,